This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard on VSiN.
Welcome back in. It's hour number two of the Lombardi Line from downtown Las Vegas and our Circus Sportsbook studios. Back with Mike Pritchard, former national champ at Colorado. Congrats to your school, Mike, Deion Sanders. Primetime, new head coach there as a head man of the Buffs. I'm Ben Wilson. A lot for us to get to in hour number two. Josh Applebaum from VSiN Morning Daily Bets joins us to give his give us his early week 14 thoughts. Mike, two very interesting line moves that we're seeing so far. Some line moves and some games featuring teams within the division and teams in the current playoff picture as they stand right now. We'll start with the big line move of the week, though. You're already laughing.
Yes.
Vikings take on the Lions, a Lion team suddenly resurgent that under Dan Campbell waxed Jacksonville a week ago, 40-14, to at least stay in the hunt, so to speak, within the NFC playoff picture. Hosting now Minnesota, a team that has won 9 of 10 games by a single possession this year. Vikings at 10-2, number two seed in the NFC, a game behind Philadelphia for that top seed, while Detroit comes in this week in playoff positioning of 5-7, the first team out of the playoff picture right after Washington. Washington, the would be the number eight team right on the outside looking in at 7-5-1. Then there's Detroit at 5-7. Market, though, is all one-sided. This opened 1 in favor of Minnesota Sunday night. It was a pick'em by Monday morning. On our screen, we just showed 1.5, but the market's now up to 2.5 in some spots on Detroit. 2.5 for Detroit. You agree with the move?
Well, something's going on. I mean, obviously, I think it's not about fighting and biting kneecaps. Yeah. Right? It's not about that.
Something with a little more substance.
Yeah. I mean, I know Christian Darrisaw has a concussion. Questionable. I'm just looking at what could be going on with Minnesota. I mean, you have a 10-win team right now, Ben. And they're a way dog here against a Detroit team that they've improved. But should they be a favorite with that defense? I mean, that's intriguing to me. I know the defense has played better, though, as of late. I give Aaron Glenn and his staff and the coaching staff and certainly the players credit here. And they can score with anybody. I mean, I think the Lions, they traded away TJ Hockenson and they didn't slow down. I mean, Jameson Williams is going to be incorporated a little bit more too. St. Brown is incredible. They run the ball better than a lot of teams envision them running, and they're scoring touchdowns left and right too. So the firepower is there. I'm just, you know, it's the Vikings. I mean, I get it. One score games, but they're winning, you know. Their away record is 4-1, by the way. They're undefeated within a division too, but yet now they're catching points. So I was looking to see if there's any developments from an injury standpoint. I don't see anything standing out other than Darrisaw with the concussion still, and I'm not noticing anything else that the Vikings cannot overcome.
If you look at the last 5 weeks, though, for Detroit, it started with a win over Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, 15-9 at home. Mm-hmm. Lions have shown a tremendous improvement on the defensive end. As you're saying, even if they're 30th on the season in overall efficiency, since week 10, Lions now 15th overall. Middle of the pack team defensively when they were on an island all on their own. If you plotted all the teams in the NFL with defensive efficiency, everybody was, you know, kind of all in the middle, and then you had the Lions just like Hawaii, basically.
Right.
Where is the defensive improvements come? That's the first thing you have to look at, right?
Well, yeah, you do. You do. I think collectively for the Lions, attention to detail, just improving, though, it's a get better league. I mean, as players, that's what we strive to do. And you have to give credit to the coaches that these players are not making the same mistakes, whether it was communication, just being out of alignment, or just not knowing what to do. Aiden Hutchinson up front has been incredible. Two, and you know, the Lions, they might have found a formula in terms of not trying to be impactful defensively, but complement the offense, because the offense is high octane. And, you know, just adjusting that way, I think, has been a beneficial for the Lions here. So 8-4 ATS, which, okay, the Lions, you want to do that. I added them to my portfolio, by the way. And
they're one of your right route teams
yeah,
this week.
Yeah, they are, because of discipline, too. You know, last week against the Jaguars, they had one penalty. That's not indicative of a losing culture or losing team, right?
Detroit, only one penalty?
One penalty.
15th on defense the last 4 weeks.
Yes.
Detroit.
They've changed, right? And I spotlighted them a few weeks ago in terms of looking at betting them, and I certainly have bet them. And but in this situation against the Vikings, I didn't know this was going to turn into this, though, with the Lions being favorite now. But they are surging. They were one of those dog situations that I outlined last week that I would be inclined to bet. And that line even flipped, I believe. It kept going back and forth with Jacksonville. But no, the Lions are surging. We know that. They're playing disciplined football. Coach Campbell has done a great job with effort. But I think the playmaking ability, the combination of adding Jameson Williams to the playmaking ability offensively makes them that much more dangerous. And if they have found something magical defensively, they are on a bit of a run. I don't know how sustainable it is, but now as a favorite, maybe that's makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Even if they're 5-7, but the Lions have won 4 or 5. And it is a classic case, Mike, of how in an 18-week, 17-game season,
mm-hmm.
we as bettors can pigeonhole ourselves so easily into thinking a team's identity is X, when in reality, there's a lot of fluidity throughout the course of the NFL season. A lot of respected, smart bettors love Detroit in the preseason. And it wasn't just that they were on Hard Knocks, right?
Right?
It was because there was a lot of improvements made personnel-wise with the projected top 5 offensive line, a bunch of skill players at the running back and wide receiver positions, and Amon-Ra St. Brown at wide receiver, DeAndre Swift at running back, and a defense that should have profiled to slowly improved.
Mm-hmm.
Yet with starting the way Detroit did, as one of the worst defensive teams in the league and struggling to win close games early, we just went, well, same old Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Forgetting that it's a long season. Improvement happens throughout the year. And isn't that a great example, more so than any other team this year, Mike, of how a season really is divided up into so many different pieces?
Yeah, absolutely, Ben. I mean, it's a get better league. As players, we know that. But then it's a forward-looking league. Like, everything in the National Football League is about projecting. It's not so much about reading your stats and settling in on that. Oh, hey, you know what? Our offense is a top 10 scoring offense. Oh, we're good. But no, you can get better. They trade TJ Hockenson, and now Jamal Williams is, I think, the leading rusher, and you still have Swift. I mean, they are incredibly deep. They drafted well. Look at the offensive line that they have when it's healthy. Jared Goff, we know what he has been in a rear view, but he's now looking better now that St. Brown is catching a rock the way he is, and Jameson Williams is going to be out there too with the speed, and that's going to be a problem or situation for defenses as they try to stop the run. And now, how are you going to stop that speed, right? So they forward-looking, the Lions do present issues, and maybe that's what the line is moving and why the line's moving
it's
that
exactly
way.
Exactly why a team that is top 15 in the league defensively the last 4 weeks and won that takes on a Minnesota team, bottom 5 in the league on a yards per play allowed basis, it's why the line is where it is. It's why the market is going toward Detroit, even if it's 10-2 Minnesota now catching points in an underdog against 5-7 Detroit. This isn't the books just trying to trap you. This is a real thing. Power ratings within the market matter, and Detroit is certainly trending in the right direction.
Yeah, right route.
Right route for Mike Pritchard. A team trending downwards in the market is a team that is still in the playoff picture in the NFC, but starting to slip a little bit. The New York Giants get a tie at home against Washington as 2.5-point underdogs on Sunday. Now have a big step up in class, though, taking on the number 1 seed in the NFC in Philadelphia. Market-wide, Eagles about a 7-point favorite in this week 14 divisional spot. Mike, 7 points, that is right in the big favorite teaser window. Mm-hmm. Will that be a feature on your card this week?
Yeah, I put it in. I put
already,
the bet in already. Yeah, I like it. Okay.
At MetLife Stadium, by the way.
Yeah, but they're not traveling, right? It's the Eagles. It's that schedule. They're not traveling. I think we're finding out more and more about the Giants as they play games within the division. I give credit to the Giants for even having a tie with the Commanders, because I thought they were outmatched with the Commanders front, even though I did have that game 21-21 in my notes. But it's fascinating, this final score of that game. Against the Eagles, and this is why they're another right route here, they're so dynamic. I mean, even Tennessee wanted to take them out of their game and punch them in the mouth and stop them from running the ball in a proficient way and using 6 eligibles with Jalen as he's a running back. We're going to force you to throw the ball, Jalen. All the Eagles did was like, okay, 300 and what?
I'll go 29 of 39 for 380 yards.
Exactly.
And three touchdowns.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. You want to take when you can do that and be dynamic that way, you're dangerous. Because teams, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to stop what you do very, very well. And Jalen Hurts runs the football very, very well. It's hard to stop. But now he throws the ball very, very well. And he's got the matchup. I think A.J. Brown is healthy again. Devontae Smith is doing well. Dallas Goedert is not even there. And think back when think about when he comes back, how dynamic this team is going to be again offensively. So they are definitely on the right track, running the right routes. I think Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator, is going to be on a fast track for interviews all over the place, because what he's doing with a college offense. Ben, I called games when UNLV ran this offense. I know this offense, and what he's doing with this offense right now is incredible in the National Football League.
I like Philadelphia as well this week. Laying the 7, you can find it at minus 105 right now at BetMGM, but a team who was profiled top 3 running the football all year in Philadelphia and just added on the added dynamic, like you said, of throwing the football last week, 380 passing yards in a win over Tennessee, now facing a New York Giant team, bottom 8 in yards per play on offense, bottom 6 in yards per play on defense, showing us their true colors over the last 3 weeks, the New York Giants. I will happily lay the 7 with Philadelphia on the road.
Okay.
Not just the teaser.
No, not just,
not
okay.
just the teaser okay. down to 1. Lay the full 7 with Philadelphia this week. Some teams starting to crater a little bit in that NFC playoff picture. Giants still hanging on, but just narrowly by a single threat. We'll continue right route, wrong route. We have some teams that are on the right, right route. We also have some teams on the wrong route. We'll talk about those teams with Mike Pritchard when we return.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
We welcome you back into the Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line. Happy to be with you all as we start to dive into week number 14 of the NFL. Back with Mike Pritchard, I'm Ben Wilson. Starting our wrong routes, we were so positive last segment, Mike, looking at teams on the right route. Now to the reverse side of that, and you will go with New England, the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Now out of the playoff picture as it stands, a 6-6 team with a season-defining game coming up in the desert against Arizona this Monday night. What's been the thing, though, that's drawn your ire about what you've seen out of New England?
Well, that Bill Belichick was going to figure it out. You know, as better as I think along the way, and because we know how they started, the Patriots started. Offense stinks. Flat out stinks. And there were signs that, okay, maybe they figured it out against the Vikings and a few other games, but still protection was a problem, and I think the scheme was a problem. They're trying to do things that everybody else is doing with the wide zone rushing attack, and Ramondre Stevenson has been a surprise for them, which is great, but no 1-2 punch right there. I think he's wearing down a little bit offensive line with the injuries. Andrews up front, some key injuries. Trent Brown playing left tackle has been a debacle. And so it's just not working. And Bill Belichick can't figure it out, and he has nowhere else to go. He's admitted that. I have nowhere else to go. I can't get better players right now, and we can't figure this out. So as a better, put that in, file that away. The New England Patriots have not figured out their problems offensively. We had on the screen, 20 points a game? They're averaging 20 points a game offensively. The last three, because I'm taking off that punt return for a touchdown. I'm taking that away from them.
That ain't counting.
That don't count. Those 10 points don't count. They've averaged 12 points a game in their last three games. And yeah. Mac Jones is going backwards. Bill Belichick won offensively. Patricia, they have not figured it out. Mac Jones is going backwards. That is not a good recipe. Certainly, it's a recipe for inconsistency, and that's what we've seen. What Mac Jones got 7 touchdown passes, 7 INTs. That is backup quarterback quality, right? That's rookie quarterback stuff right there.
We just did the numbers. It's Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, right. Taylor Heineke, Mac Jones. Those are all three guys right in the same ilk, even if Purdy's numbers are on a very, very small sample size.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at the New England offense, I look at it with the lens, with my glasses, the backup quarterback glasses on, because that's what Mac Jones is, that's what he's playing like. There's no progression there. There's no improvement. If anything, he's got continued bad habits, right? And it's almost circus-like because you're running around, you know, trying to create stuff. I'm like, dude, just throw the ball away. You know, but he's not Patrick Mahomes, right? But he's trying to be, which is troublesome because he's trying to be somebody he's not. So as a bettor, know that the Patriots are searching and know that the Patriots are also lost offensively.
Maybe part of that is because an offensive coordinator is Matt Patricia, who is traditionally a defensive mind. And head coach Bill Belichick comes out after the loss in the last game for New England against Buffalo and says, we need to be doing a better job at the coaching level, being more consistent, especially on the offensive game. Many in the media perceive that to be a slight and a nagging, so to speak, of his quote-unquote offensive coordinator, Matt Patricia. How do you interpret those comments?
Yeah, I interpret it that way. But when I'm looking at coaches, you know, you got to put the players in the right positions to succeed. New England's not doing that. I think they're searching for an identity offensively because one week they want to run the football, and then the next week Mac Jones is throwing it all over the place, and there's just no consistency. Even throwing it all over the place, he still only has 7 touchdown passes. 7! I mean, good Lord.
It is week, what, week 3? Oh, no, it's week 14. It's
yes, week no, week I 14. Know. Who is the quarterback's coach for New England? I don't think they have one.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure.
Joe Judge.
That doesn't, that is.
The former head coach.
special team. Joe Judge, former special teams coordinator, turned failed head coach with the Giants, and now
quarterback's coach. That guy is coaching Mac Jones. If you want to know why Mac Jones stinks right now, maybe that's it. And you heard the comments, or you saw it, or you read the comments from Bill Belichick. There you go. It's not that difficult. But my goodness, New England is finding ways to make it that difficult. And in the process, Mac Jones is not progressing, which could cause even more problems for you. What are you going to do next year? There's rumors that Tom Brady is going to go back there. I mean, think about that for a minute if you're Mac Jones. So file that away as a better and keep that in mind.
Allowing Joe Judge to be called the quarterback's coach is akin to Michael Scott just letting Dwight Schrute call himself the assistant to the regional manager.
That might be worse.
Total fugazi.
That might be worse than Jeff Saturday being head coach right now. That Joe Judge is quarterback's
coach. And that is saying something from you, yes. Former NFL wide receiver. For week 14, the Monday night game, Patriots at Arizona. I really like Arizona in a teaser leg. Tease Arizona up from +1.5 to +7.5. Underdogs in that role, catching either 1 to 3.5 and facing teams in the bottom half of the league in scoring. 15-1 in teasers over the last 5 weeks. Arizona fits that bill, and a defense in Arizona that has profiled very well against the run this year. Top 10, taking on a New England offense that is now 18th yards per play, 20th on a points per game basis, and 25th on average yards per drive. Tease Arizona up to 7.5.
Yeah,
thank me.
I mean, Arizona. Yeah, I realize
there are issues there. Yeah. So hold your nose. But how is New England winning this game by margin?
Well, I mean, anything, everything can happen each and every week in the National Football League. I get that. Arizona's dysfunctional too. So, you know, they don't have leadership. Kyler Murray, Kingsbury, no. Defensively, though, we have seen some semblance of being competitive at times there. So. I'm staying away from the game so far.
You're trying to be so kind. Some semblance of being competitive at times.
Right. I'm trying to dress it up.
Think about what you just
I'm
said.
I'm trying to dress it up.
I realize I'm being brave, but that does qualify as a good teaser leg this year. Okay. Another team on the wrong route for one Mike Pritchard. It's a team we saw last night, the New Orleans Saints, who blow a 16-3 lead against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We went more into the Tampa side as we started the show earlier today, Mike, but have to get into what's wrong here for New Orleans. Where does it start for you with the ineptitude going on in NOLA?
Well, I don't want to be this strong, but I guess I can be this strong. I mean, they
go for it.
Inconsistent play, and they just flat out suck. They suck. I mean, how do you bet this team? I mean, I know you cashed
please,
last night.
Please, if only we put your face on this graphic for those of you watching us right now. Just please preserve this graphic for eternity.
I mean, 5-8 ATS. How do you bet this team? Last night, you had 3.5 points you could have caught, which made sense because of the matchup and who they're playing and the fact that Tampa Bay offensively has been struggling. But Mark Ingram catches a pass and runs out of bounds instead of making it first down to keep the chains going, to eat more time off the clock, perhaps in the fourth quarter. He runs out of bounds. Think about that for a minute. He's got a helmet and shoulder pads on, thigh pads and everything, and he runs out of bounds instead of just get the first down. You're running back, not a quarterback.
Which leads to the play that sparked the whole collapse. Third and one for New Orleans, the Tampa 44, 5:34 to go in the game, up 16-3, and New Orleans decides to pass against a bottom 12 run defense in Tampa Bay, incomplete to Marquez Callaway, punt.
Mm-hmm.
That began the collapse. When at the point of Mark Ingram, when he caught the ball, went out of bounds, New Orleans had a 98.4% win probability.
Right, and then, of course, Mark Ingram has to tweet about it, because you got to tweet about it, right? Yeah, when you're a football player these days, you got to tweet about the fact that you ran out of bounds. But let's look at his tweet.
Throwing the emoji.
I'm sick about this. I know there was emoji, two of them.
Got to have a heart emoji.
I'm sick about this one. How are you sick about it? You chose to run out of bounds. Nobody told you to run out of bounds. You made that decision. Gosh, a fresh set of downs would have helped. Yeah, absolutely. That could have meant that you guys might be tied for first in the division. I want to apologize to my teammates. Oh, too late for that. I just don't get it. So the lack of awareness or football acumen, it falls back on the head coach too. And then the inability to just cover up down the stretch or just make plays when you had to, when offensively you had the ball back even, you still could have won the football game. But running out of bounds right there was all you needed to know about the Saints right now.
And that goes back, though, to coaching.
Yeah.
And I will push back a little bit on you saying the entire team is awful.
Okay.
Because New Orleans is top 10 yards per play on offense, top 10 yards per play on defense. It's been a defensive unit that ranks in the top 15 in overall efficiency all year. There are a lot of good qualities to New Orleans. But they have a head coach in Dennis Allen who should never have been hired, who should strictly be a defensive coordinator. He's unqualified to be an NFL head coach when you watch his in-game malpractice. To be in a position where you don't even know how to have the proper number of guys in the huddle before a third and two at the Tampa 3?
That too.
I mean, high school teams wouldn't do that, Mike. Yeah. Have 12 guys in the huddle. How many times has that been called in the NFL this season?
Not that often. I mean,
especially third and two at the three.
Yeah.
That loss has to go on Dennis Allen for the cosmic mismanaging of a game. And a team in New Orleans that very easily, if Sean Payton was still the head coach, they would be in the playoff chase and probably in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
Wishful Dennis Allen thinking. Has to go after this year.
Wishful thinking right there. And they got shut out the week before.
And shut out. A fireable offense last night for Dennis Allen. You have to think he's gone after this year, right?
Hard to say.
Oof,
it is hard to say.
Pritch taking the high road. When we return, Josh Applebaum from VSiN Morning Daily Bets. He has some plays for Week 14. We'll hear about him after this.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not only today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Big thanks to the whole crew today as we continue our final half hour on the Lombardi Line. Our producer, Brian Ortega, pumped to welcome B. Ortega here to the Tuesday-Wednesday edition of the show, Mike. Great to have our guy, Brian Ortega. You work with him on the weekends.
I do.
With Pro Football Blitz with Brady Cannon. So we have Brian in the house, our technical director, Andrew Ingold, and then the cast of hundreds, maybe thousands, helping us. Led by Mikhail Bala, we have Troy Kinch, Andre Perezo, Rob Moreno, Sergio Sanchez, Liz Foster. I think that's everybody. Again, I said there were hundreds, so there might be a few more.
You didn't quite get to 1,000 there.
Not quite 1,000. What are you going to do? We welcome in Josh Applebaum, who always has so many insights to give us. He has recorded, I can say this with, this is factual, Josh Applebaum has recorded hundreds of Market Insights podcast episodes, in addition to the new VSiN Morning Daily Bets, which has been out since early this fall. Been a great way to start your morning for any better. Josh joins us from Boston. Now, what do you think about Mike disparaging your New England Patriots there, Josh, in our last segment?
So Ben and Pritch, it's great to be with you. And Pritch was such a nice guy that he is. He's like, oh, sorry, but your Patriots stink. I'm like, don't feel sorry for me. I watch them every day. I have to see this terrible show on offense every single week. And as a Patriots fan, it's just mind-boggling, guys. If you look at kind of what they did going into this year. It's kind of funny. If you take a step back to training camp, you had a lot of reporters and a lot of people saying the offense doesn't look right. What is Belichick doing, putting in defensive guys to do offensive positions and calling offense when you've never called offense before? And we were told, hey, Belichick's a genius. He can do it. It's no big deal. If you coach one side, you can coach the other. Well, I threw this at you guys. Have you ever seen an MLB team who has a pitching coach say, hey, go be a hitting coach this year? No big deal. You know, baseball, you can do any position. No, it's different. It's a feel. It's kind of a way that you have to approach the game. And also, like, defense is reactionary. Offense, you have to kind of take it to the other team. So Belichick, to me, is getting a ton of heat in New England, guys. I think it's deservedly so. I love Belichick, don't get me wrong, but why couldn't you just have a real offensive coordinator? Nick Cayley's a young kid. He could have given the reins to here. I know he couldn't get Bill O'Brien, but to me, it's like, oh, what a surprise. They look terrible on offense when you have a coordinator who's never done offense before. So I'm not feeling great about my Pats, guys. I think they're like minus 300 to miss the playoffs right now. Mm. That being said, they are what, a 1.5-point favorite against Arizona this week.
That being said. Against Cliff Kingsbury, former backup quarterback for Bill Belichick in New England. The only guy I can think of, Mike, who would ever have been qualified in Major League Baseball to be a hitting and pitching coach was a fellow pro athlete in Denver, Mike Hampton. Okay. Remember him?
I do.
Colorado Rocky. Josh knows what I'm talking about.
He had some homers.
He was one of the best hitting pitchers of this current generation. Mike Hampton, incredible athlete. Mm-hmm. He would maybe qualify, but not many others.
Yeah.
Josh, we turn our attention to the Week 14 slate in the NFL. Some big line movements today on a Tuesday. Detroit opens a short underdog against Minnesota. Now laying in some books 2.5. Against the Vikings, the 5-7 Lions against the 10-2 Minnesota Vikings. They're in Detroit. What do you make of the line move?
Yeah, give me Detroit on the money line, guys. I think when you're kind of a data-driven guy like me and you really look at a lot of line movements and how different positions or different kind of lines open and how they kind of move based on the market, oftentimes you'll see like deja vu, like one line looks exactly like the other line. So to me, the Detroit Lions here are in the same position as the Las Vegas Raiders were last week. And Raiders were a team that we talked about last week on our appearance on the show, guys. It was the same sort of thing. The Raiders open at home plus 3 against the Chargers. They flipped all the way to a 2.5-point home favorite. Well, guess what? Lions are in the same exact position. You mentioned it, Ben. Detroit Lions opened up at home getting plus 3 against the Vikings. They've now flipped all the way to minus 2.5. So do they get to 3? I'm not sure about that. I think the books are probably wary of maybe a ton of buyback there if you get to Vikings plus 3. But this reminds me, again, same position that the Raiders were in. Had to sweat it a little bit at the end, but I'm going money line here with the Lions. The other thing I like, guys, is this is a big contrarian play. The public is all over Minnesota. They were looking like they're going to be the most trendy dog of the week. You're getting, as of right now, 74% of bets taking Minnesota. And if you go on gambling Twitter, you know what you're going to hear? Wrong team is favored. No. The right team is always favored based on the odds makers' projections. It's just that, you know, sometimes the public kind of feels that way. And there's kind of a trap game sentiment where, oh, the books are trying to put us into a trap. No, it's your public perception that causes the trap. So I get it. You look at the Vikings, better record. You mentioned it, Ben. They're 10-2. You look at the Lions, they're 5-7. Why is a 10-2 team a dog against a 5-7 team? That makes no sense. So to me, this is a game where public is all over based on the stats. 3 out of 4 bets on Minnesota, but this line keeps going to Detroit. I moneyline Detroit at minus 135. Dan Campbell, guys, he's won 4 of his last 5 games, starting to maybe get some belief in that locker room. And Campbell now, overall, not the greatest win-loss record, but he's 19-10 against the spread as coach of the Lions. That's 66% cover rate there. So to me, Detroit looks just like the Raiders on Sunday. Give me Detroit dog to fave on the money line.
All right, let's get to Tampa Bay and San Francisco, because a lot of intrigue in this game. As San Francisco's a 3.5-point favorite, Josh. Low total, though, 37. Now, the Market Insights podcast, all over that. But I'm all over your Everything to Sports Betting Guide, your book. Because you talk about this in which you have a low total like this, right? And a game in which this favorite, 2, 3.5. Now, the quarterback situation, I don't know if you factored that into this game at all. I think both defenses kind of neutralize what offense we might see in this game.
I'm with you there, Pritch, and thanks for plugging the book, my man. I owe you a little commission there. Appreciate it. But no, I'm with you, and you hit on something really important, correlative betting. So take a step back to last night where you had a good reverse line move. Obviously, on the Saints, Brady comes back and wins it, but the Saints cover the number. Why is that important? Because, again, deja vu, similar sort of line here. It looks to me like Tampa Bay is now kind of in that spot that the Saints were in last night, where San Francisco here is kind of in that that buck spot from last night. So I know it's kind of wonky, but kind of work with me here. You open San Fran laying 6.5. on a lot of books. Now you're down to 3.5. We saw that same move last night where it went to the Bucks laying 6.5 down to 3.5. But to your point, Pritch, I think a lot of new bettors, they just look at, hey, what's the spread? What's the money line? Who's going to win or who's going to cover? But they don't really factor in how the total could affect the outcome of the game or impact the game and how it's played. So to me, something that I learned a long time ago is really when you want a dog, when you want to bet on a dog, you want a low total because the fewer amount of expected points scored, it's going to be harder for the favorite to cover. Now, if you're on a favorite, you want a high total. So basically that means more points expected to be scored. It's going to be theoretically a little easier for the favorite to cover. So a low total to me is like anything below 45, close to 40. A high total is close to 50 or more. But you're totally right, Pritch. Like we had a move toward the dog last night with the Saints and a move toward that under. The under and the dog came through. This one here, same sort of thing. This total opened 41.5. You're down to 37, so the total is falling. And again, the line is moving toward Tampa Bay. So we'll see where this thing goes next. I'm wondering if we get down to 3. I'm looking at Tampa Bay plus 3.5 here, guys. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have the matchup of Brady versus Purdy. You're going to go Brady, basically. But Purdy doesn't probably have to do too much here. You're not going to ask a ton of him with his great offensive skill players and his great defense here. But a couple reasons, like the Bucs, dogs who failed to cover the previous week. They're 43-33 ATS, 57% this year. Sweet spot dogs. That's really been the angle. If you're getting 3.5 or more, you saw it cash last night. Those dogs are 69-45 ATS, 61%. You also have kind of a bad ATS, good ATS, where the Bucks this year, 3-8-1 against the spread. They haven't covered a lot of numbers. You look at San Francisco, they're 7-5 ATS. So people who have bet San Fran have made money. They're going to continue to ride them. People who have bet Brady haven't really covered. They're going to think about betting against them. But you hit the nail on the head, Pritch. Correlative betting, move toward the dog, move toward the under. I'm looking at Brady plus 3.5 here.
Again, Josh Applebaum joining us right now on the Lombardi Line. Give him a follow at Josh_Insights, host of our VSiN Morning Daily Bets and Market Insights podcast. Josh, we would be remiss if we did not mention the one college football game on the card this week for you to handicap. It's Army-Navy, exciting game as always as we celebrate our great country and two service academy teams going at it. Circa opener was 33.5 on the total, down to 32.5 most shops, and Navy is a slight favorite. Josh, what do you like in this game?
So let's start off real quick, because again, I'm on the under, spoiler alert. I'll give you the reason why, but also want to mention there is a line move toward Navy, guys. This one jumped out to me too, because this actually opened Army like laying 1.5. It's flipped to Navy -1.5. So that's a pretty good dog to fave line move here toward Navy. I'd be maybe leaning on Navy on the money line here, but the total is the most fascinating thing to me because one of the early systems that I learned when I was kind of, you know, learning about, data-driven betting and betting systems and stuff like that was military academy under. So the whole thought process here is they don't throw the ball very much. They run it a ton. You chew up the clock. Why is that important? Because the clock's running most of the game and it really benefits the under. But you get to like the military academy under on steroids when it comes to Navy Army that one time per year where, you know, we can all just tune in and kind of just enjoy the game. But if you're a better, you want to make some money here. So I see this happen every single year, guys. It's 16-0 to the under the last 16 years. And every time I take the under, I always go on gambling Twitter and I hear it's too low. It's got to go over. This is the year it's got to go over. And every year it goes under. So if it goes over this year, I'll tip my cap. You can say it's due. But I think if you bet on the premise of it's due, that you're really not going to make much money long term. But just look at what the market has done. You mentioned it, Ben. Total open 33.5. I saw 34 out there. It got down to 33 yesterday. I took under 33. Woke up today, I'm seeing 32.5. So the line is continuing to go under, despite the fact that I think the public is just saying, hey, it's got to go over. It's due. It's due. And be careful, guys. When you guys after the show go to the roulette table at Circa, if it lands on red 5 times in a row, don't bet your life that it's going to be black the next time. It could be red again. Give me the under 33.
Thank you for the roulette tip. We were definitely going to apply that at 11 a.m. on Tuesday.
That's right.
You're downtown. Josh, as always, great to see you. We'll see if the 16-game under streak continues in Army-Navy. When we return to the Lombardi Line, time for us to preview Thursday night football, Raiders-Rams.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Our pro tip for hour number two, as we get ready to wrap up the Lombardi Line, one of 20 that we have for you each and every day throughout the network. You can see all of them arranged by show and sports for our pro subscribers at VSiN.com. Looking to fade teams and opportunities to fade teams who have clear and obvious disconnects between coordinators slash play callers and personnel on the field. Something that might sound a little daunting on the surface to identify, but you, with your help, having played in the league and knowing the ins and outs, there are ways to identify those, and it's maybe simpler than some bettors might think.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think at the very beginning of the year, you could have identified the Broncos with Hackett and Russell Wilson, and that would have saved you a lot of heartache, right, along the
11
way.
11-1 to the under now, by yeah. the way, the Broncos.
Or it could have helped you, in terms of a total situation. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But, new coaches, new play callers, new quarterbacks, those are rare situations in the National Football League. I mean, you love the continuity aspect if you can get it. And certainly there's a working, a process you have to go through. The Raiders, a great example at the beginning of the year. Josh McDaniels, we know of him to be a great play caller. But did he know everything about Derek Carr yet? No. Did he know Derek Carr at times is a panicky guy? And, you have to work through that. You have to adjust to that. You have to evaluate that. Now it looks apart because I think they've adjusted to that. Aaron Rodgers without Devontae Adams, even though LaFleur is still calling plays and even though it's the great Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the disconnect, the age gap between those young players and Aaron Rodgers was evident as well. I mean, there's so many examples out there that if you were in tune with a disconnect aspect, could have saved you a lot of heartache helped your wallet.
Right, and it's a week-to-week thing you still have to assess because some teams have still had those struggles. New England Patriots, as we talked about, great example of that, and now sit at 6-6 as a result of those inconsistencies. Some teams, like the Raiders, have, though, shown some signs of figuring it out, Mike. Three straight wins, two on the road in overtime, and now find themselves, while not completely out of the playoff picture, still on the outside looking in, but in a position where if they make a run, there is a very faint possibility that a Raider team might find a way into a 7 seed, if you are of the belief that possibility is out there.
Yeah, I mean, they made a run, to be honest with you, but the possibility is there, the path is there too. Inside that building, this football team's thinking that they should be 7-5 instead of 5-7. They blew the game against the Cardinals. You can throw in the Jacksonville game, too. I mean, the Colts, my goodness. How do you lose that game?
That's the big one. That's the big one if the Raiders miss the playoffs. Yeah. Game. Two games out right now of the Jets, who currently occupy the 7 seed. The Colt game against a coach who should not be in that position, a play caller who should not be calling plays in Parks Frazier for Indianapolis. That's the game that will likely cost the Raiders if they come up short.
Yeah, I mean, they even had a chance to beat the Kansas City Chiefs on the road. The two receivers ran into each other. It was wide open. It was a touchdown. They were going to win that game. Lo and behold, they stack wins together, back-to-back overtime wins, and then last week against the Chargers. And now here's confidence, along with execution. And the Raiders are executing. They have a great balanced attack offensively. You have Josh Jacobs that's the rushing yards leader. You have Devontae Adams that's the ultimate playmaker. He's a great player on top of that. And then you have the complement around that's playing at a higher level too. And Derek Carr is avoiding mistakes. And then when he makes mistakes, the Raiders are overcoming those. And I think defensively, they have two all pros. And from a personnel standpoint, as a bookends on that defensive line, Max Crosby, second team all pro. We know what Chandler Jones, he's been a first team all pro before. And those guys are playing at a higher level now. They got pushed up the middle from Tillery. They picked him up because he got waived by the Chargers. Go figure. The Chargers waived that guy. But because of the waiver situation, because the Raiders stunk at the time, they were able to get Tillery through waivers. And so they added that mix to the defense. Perryman's been outstanding as a linebacker, and they're growing up and getting better on a defensive secondary. So this team is surging. Now, I don't know if they're going to win out and make the playoffs, but as a better, the combined nature of confidence, the combined nature of the evaluation and this coaching staff, more familiar with the abilities of this player, these players, it looks pretty good right now.
A lot of similarities between the Raiders and Detroit in the 4-1 span for Detroit. As we talked about earlier, Lions went from the worst defense in the league to 15th on an overall efficiency basis the last 4 weeks.
Right.
Raiders been about 30th on the season, 32nd and a yards per play allowed basis, 32nd against the pass if you're looking at full season numbers. But last 4 weeks, up to 17th now on an overall efficiency basis. Clearly, the improvements have been there for a Raider team that has now won 3 straight and finds themselves, with a pulse at least, at 5-7. You look at the matchup against the Rams, though, it's a 6-point spread. The Raiders are having to lay, and it gets back to, can you trust the Raiders, despite the recent surge in performance, can you trust them laying such a big number in a short week road game with an unproven first-year head coach, Josh McDaniels, at the helm?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, legitimate question, too, because the Raiders won back-to-back games on the road, albeit, against two of my former teams, the Denver Broncos, who are awful. And then, you know, impressive win up in Seattle, Lumen Field against the Seattle Seahawks. And both of those games went to overtime. So the Raiders are finding ways to win. They put together a great 3 quarters after that first quarter against the Chargers at home. And Will Hill was on the program earlier, mentioned it's going to be a home field advantage for the Raiders in L.A. because of the way that the Rams are playing and the Raider fans, Raider Nation is turning out everywhere. I mean, they infiltrated Lumen Field up in Seattle. I mean, that Raider Nation is turning out. And so that's going to be supportive. I don't know, to the tune of 6 points, though. Like, you can get a teaser, right?
Right. Raiders have only won 2 games by margin this year, by more than one possession. And those 2 games were against the worst team in the NFL, the 1-11-1 Houston Texans. That was a close game in the second half. Pulled away. The Raiders did to win that game by 18. And the miserably bad offensive Denver Broncos, arguably the worst offensive team in the league, beat Denver by 9. Outside of that, though, in this 3-game winning streak, overtime win, overtime win, 7-point coin flip type game against the Chargers, where the Raiders were down, as you mentioned, 10-0.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's a short week. We know it's all walkthrough situations. Josh Jacobs, he's been running the ball very, very well, but you wonder about the wear and tear. He's got a calf situation. Are they going to platoon him? Are they going to have Amir White and you know, other players step in? So there could be a drop-off that way. I think Davante Adams is going to be fine. Is Jalen Ramsey going to follow him? I wonder about that matchup a little bit. So I don't know if it's going to slow them down. I mean, Davante is just incredible. Even with Ramsey out there, I think he takes them deep and destroys them, to be honest with you. But no, it's a short week situation. I mean, if you are entertaining the Raiders, you like the 6, I think. But I don't know about laying 6.
Well, so a lot will depend on the status of John Wolford, a statement I didn't think I'd ever be making, the quarterback for the Rams, who was a significant upgrade by coming in over Bryce Perkins, the third-string quarterback for the Rams. Gave L.A. some life, came out, got an early lead against Seattle, unable to win the game, but covered and were the right side for the entire 60 minutes and a 4-point loss to the Seahawks. But you look at the Rams now, Wolford is day-to-day, was banged up late in the loss to Seattle at home. A bunch of injuries continue. Ben Skoranek, one of the few remaining healthy wide receivers, is also questionable, dealing with injury as well. Sean McVay, head coach, saying he is going to be questionable in day-to-day. So from the Rams' perspective, it's more on a short week after they clearly poured their heart and soul. They poured everything into that Seattle game. You saw the emotion on display for the Rams. With the lack of personnel and so many guys injured, what's left for the Rams? That's where you have to go if you are of the belief that the Rams can keep it within a score.
Well, one aspect that's helping the Raiders right now is the youth and the graduation of players, because a lot of players from the practice squad are now contributing for the Raiders in role situations. And then if you look at the Rams, they don't have that because their roster was depleted of talent. You know, they were all in for a Super Bowl, so they don't have anywhere else to go. I mean, from a talent standpoint or a roster standpoint, the Raiders have the better roster, and certainly the quarterback is playing better for the Raiders too. So a lot favors the Raiders on the short week. I'm just weary of laying 6, though.
I would be too.
Okay.
Probably why. I don't think I have bet a single Thursday night football game all year, Mike.
Yeah.
That's probably going to continue.
Good choice.
And over 5 yards of play for the Rams.
Right.
Against the Seattle defense that has not been very good. But still, improvements from what we had seen under a third-string quarterback in Bryce Perkins. Again, the market right now, Raiders -6 Thursday night on the road at SoFi Stadium against the LA Rams. Mike, as always, this has been a blast.
Absolutely.
Where did the time go? Two hours.
It flew by.
We're out of here. It is VSiN Big Bets with Dave Ross and Amal Shaw coming your way next right here on VSiN.